Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, we are talking about having a healthier marriage on our show titled Jumping Ship. Do you feel like your relationship has taken on water? We're going to help you plug the leaks and get back on course. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Today our show is titled Jumping Ship, as we talk about, well, if you feel like your relationship is taking on water, we're going to help you bail that water, plug those leaks, get back on course. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. You know, it doesn't even have to be that serious. Would you just like to feel closer to your spouse? Or have a stronger relationship in general? What's getting in the way? Maybe you're getting hung up on certain arguments, or even just the way you argue in general. Are there certain challenges that are making it more difficult to experience the love and intimacy you're longing for? Maybe you feel like you're struggling to connect, or even just growing apart. Whatever the situation is, let us help you find the ways to get your relationship back on course as we talk about how to have the marriage that God wants for you, the marriage you are longing for. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
You know, I think that one of the hardest things is if you're married and you're beginning to feel lonely, or you're beginning to feel like your spouse is an adversary rather than your best ally. And that can happen in tiny little baby steps, or it can seem to have come on all at once. But when we decide to prioritize fixing that, making that better, we're really working with God's grace, because we have to remember that God wants our sacraments to be wonderful, outstanding, beautiful, and to be a light to the world. And so it's not selfish. It's not something that takes away from all the other really important stuff you have to do, your work, your kids, whatever. It's your primary mission, because it's the sacrament you're supposed to be living out. And that's not to mean you should feel guilty if you're struggling. We all struggle. We're living with a fallen human person, and we're fallen human people, and we all have our foibles, and we all have our weaknesses. But when we say, I don't have time for this, this should be the last thing on my list, we're really cooperating with Satan to undermine not just our lives, but the structure of society. But when we cooperate with God and say, no, I'm going to take some time to work on this, I'm going to work out this topic that always frustrates us, and we're not just going to keep shoving it aside. I'm going to work out prioritizing this person and let them know they're special and that I love them. We're going to work out whatever that bump in the road is, even if it feels like a mountain. You're working with God's grace. Something good is going on for you, that person, and everyone else involved, including the whole church. So we're giving you permission today to prioritize that relationship. And that goes, I will say, if you're in a marriage, we're here for you. If you're getting ready to enter into a marriage and you're saying, is this the right person? How should we work out this? Oh, there's only this one stumbling block. We're here for that. And if you want to be married someday, but there are concerns because other people in your life haven't worked out their marriages too well, and you're saying, well, what do I do about this so that I don't make those mistakes? Here for that as well. Wherever you are on the marriage continuum, we're here for you. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, you mentioned, Lisa, that marriage problems kind of sneak up on us.
They can.
And you're right. You know, a lot of times people will come to marriage counseling with us and, you know, say it felt like it happened overnight.
Yeah.
But in reality, you know, it does creep up on us. And in fact, the Gottman Relationship Institute, which is sort of the best known and probably most influential for good reason, relationship research center in the country, in the world, really, identified what they call the four horsemen of marital collapse, alluding to the
Book of
Revelation.
The four horsemen of the apocalypse,
yeah.
Yes. And marital collapse can really become an apocalypse in our lives, well, metaphorically. It really can.
But these four horsemen, they go in stages. So the first stage is the criticism versus complaint stage. And in that stage, you know, a complaint is just where you go to your spouse and you say, you know, I'm not really happy with this. Let's work on it, right? And so it's not antagonistic. It's not accusatory. It's not really problem-focused. It's solution-focused. You raise the problem, but then you're getting your spouse's buy-in on solving the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But a criticism, as opposed to a complaint, is when you say, you know, you stink at thus and such, and you need to fix that.
And I think that a lot of us who, when we even talk about solving problems, kind of recoil because we hate conflict, maybe got a lot of that kind of criticism growing up from our families or our teachers or whatever that experience was. And so it's a hurdle we have to jump now to work on solving these problems.
You know, and we all criticize each other from time to time, but what they're talking about is it becomes one of the first horsemen of marital collapse when it becomes habitual. When you're not complaining in that positive sense of, hey, there's a problem, let's work on this, but you're criticizing and blaming your spouse for being the problem or having the problem, that's that first horseman. When that becomes habitual, then it leads the second horseman of marital collapse, which is defensiveness. Now you're so used to being criticized,
yeah.
You don't even wait for your spouse to criticize you before you lash out. So, for example, a benign example here. Let's say I'm looking for my keys. Okay, I can't find my keys. And I mutter under my breath, where the heck did I put my keys? And then Lisa pipes up from the other room and says, don't look at me, I didn't take your keys.
That has not happened.
I wasn't, you know, so in that example, I wasn't even talking to her. But because that first horseman of criticism has become so habitual in the relationship,
yeah,
she expects it and so lashes out. So that defensiveness takes hold. That's the second horseman of marital collapse. Once that defensive, and again, from time to time, every spouse is defensive. It's not a problem if it happens once in a while. But when that defensiveness defines the relationship,
yeah,
then we've got some problems, because then that leads to contempt, which is the third horseman. The third horseman of contempt is when you're just so used to being defensive all the time, now you just want to get it over with, so you lash out at the other person. That's your first go-to. You feel so victimized, so picked on, so used to being complained about and criticized that now you just are antagonistic because you don't want to be that victim anymore. So you're going to lash out every opportunity you get and make the other person feel small, not because you're a bad person or because you want to be mean, but because you're just so tired of being the focus of all that anger and criticism and negativity.
Well, and I can say, even if you don't feel like you've taken that step into contempt, if you're muttering about your spouse in your head when they're not around, if that person's getting ready to meet you somewhere or come home and you're saying, well, they better not, in the back of your head, or you leave a room that your spouse is in and you go off into your room or your closet and you're like, whatever those phrases are in your head that's making you feel like that grumpy cartoon character, that's the entryway. That's the door ajar into contempt, because you're building up a whole scenario and a whole sort of energy in your body that says, this person just drives me crazy.
And look, and again, from time to time, we all mutter under our breath.
Oh, yeah.
From time to time, we all say things we wish we hadn't said. But when it becomes habitual, that's when you have now filled your marital stable with the third horseman of marital collapse. And then the fourth horseman is stonewalling. And that's where you know where this conversation is going to go, so you don't even bother responding anymore. Your spouse issues a complaint, and you just sort of stare blankly at them, or you ignore them, or whatever. Aren't you going to talk to me? nothing. And it just sort of dies from there. But research shows that when couples get to the contempt stage, that 95% of couples will divorce within 5 years if they don't do something about it. Now, again, we're not trying to scare you with that. But we are trying to share that, you know, problems don't occur in marriage overnight.
Although, like you said, it can feel like it. You can have this huge flare-up and suddenly everything seems horrible. But they do happen in steps. The good news also is that you can back that up in steps as well.
Good marriages happen in small steps, too. And even if you're in a struggling relationship, you can change it by making small changes. And the theology of the body really points to that as well. And we talk about the theology of the body every day on More to Life. That's John Paul II's great legacy that teaches us what it means to be a Christian in the modern world and live a godly life and healthy relationships. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Our show today is about marriage. We're talking about, well, those struggles that we all face in feeling as close to our spouse as we might like, having the strong relationship that we are longing for. What's getting in the way? You know, are you getting hung up on certain arguments in your relationship, or even just the way you argue with each other? Maybe there are particular challenges that are making it more difficult to experience the love and intimacy that you're longing for. Maybe you feel like you're struggling to connect, or even growing apart. Let us help you find the ways that you need to get your relationship back on course. The number, again, is 877-573-7825. And the theology of the body has a lot to say about this topic.
Well, it does. And you know, today, as we look at what it tells us, we have to be reminded that working on your marriage is actually a ministry. You know, we spend a lot of time running around as Catholics doing different ministries, but our marriage is a ministry. Perhaps we can say honestly, our primary ministry. Because the fact is that anything we do to intentionally share God's love with another person is a ministry. And when husbands and wives look for little ways to love each other better and make their marriage a little stronger every day, they're actually honoring God by learning to be His face of love to their spouse. Christian love doesn't come easily. Marriage is meant to be a place where we learn to live that love well. The theology of the body reminds us that marriage is meant to challenge men and women to become everything they were created to be. That's what a sacrament is, the opportunity to become a more loving, godly person. And that's why working on your marriage is a ministry, and it helps you grow in holiness and learn to love with God's love instead of just the broken human love that comes to us more naturally.
You know, having a good Christian marriage means committing to an ongoing home improvement project. Husbands and wives need to be regularly looking at how they can love each other just a little teeny bit better, work together just a tiny bit better, serve each other just a little bit better, handle conflict just a little more effectively, especially when it's challenging to do so. It just takes tiny steps to turn even the most difficult relationship around. The more a couple has that commitment to using their marriage to learn the steps of Christian loving, the more we cooperate with the grace of the sacrament. That's what it means, and that's what it takes to create the kind of marriage God wants every Christian couple to have. A marriage that will satisfy the longings of your hearts and be a witness in the world of that free, total, faithful, and fruitful love that comes from God's own heart. So let us ask you, you know, what would you like to feel closer to your spouse or have a stronger relationship in general? Tell us what's getting in the way. You know, what are those little snags that you're getting caught up on with your spouse? Are there certain arguments that you just can't get past? Or even just the way you argue is frustrating you? Maybe there are particular challenges that are making it more difficult to experience the love, the closeness, the intimacy that you're longing for. Or you just feel like you're struggling to connect and maybe even growing apart. Let us help you find ways to get your relationship back on course. The number to call, 877-573-7825. I should say right up front, a lot of the advice that we're going to be giving on our program today is taken from my book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, as well as For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage. Both of those resources can help any couple learn to have the healthy, godly, happy, joyful marriage that they're longing for, even if they're struggling. Those two resources, again, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, and For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, both available at CatholicCounselors.com and wherever books are sold. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we praise you for being the bridegroom and making us, your church, the bride. You use as your model for the relationship that you long with all of us, marriage. You show us, by your total gift of self on the cross, what you long to see in all of us, all husbands and wives for each other, to give ourselves to each other completely, totally, freely, faithfully, so that we might be able to experience the intimacy and the love and the joy that you long to give us. Lord, we bring to you all the challenges that we face in our marriage. We bring to you all the struggles that we encounter, all the hard things we have to work through in life and with each other. And we ask you to help us to see your grace in those relationships so that we can work through those challenges and find the love, the joy, the peace that you long to give to all of the couples that bear your name. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today, we are talking about relationships, marriage in particular, and we're asking you, do you want to feel closer to your spouse, have a stronger relationship? What's getting in the way? Maybe you're getting caught up on particular arguments. You just can't get past this specific topic or issue. Or maybe it's just the way you argue in general that's getting in the way. Perhaps there are certain challenges that are making it more difficult for you to experience the love and intimacy you're longing for, or you just feel like you're drifting apart. Whatever the issue is, let us help you find ways to break through those barriers and let God's love flow more freely in your home. 877-573-7825. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be taking your calls about how to make your marriage better, stronger, more loving, more peaceful, more joyful, and more graceful. Stick around for more to life, and your calls after the break.
Location, location, location. These are the three most important factors in real estate. The same might be said for colleges. Trudging through snow to get to an 8 a.m. statistics class is a much different experience than breezing by a palm tree to the raucous applause of a laughing gull. With the average temperature of 84 degrees and wetland nature as your backdrop, it's no wonder students tend to stay once they visit our campus. Ave Maria University, your future location, location, location. Visit avemaria.edu.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at avemariaradio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to avemariaradio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit avemariafunds.com.
thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and we are taking your calls about marriage today on More to Life. We're asking you, would you like to feel closer to your spouse or just have a stronger relationship in general? And so what's getting in the way? You know, are there particular arguments that you're getting hung up on? Or even the way you argue in general is wearing you out. Maybe there are particular challenges that are making it more difficult to experience the love, the closeness, the intimacy that you're longing for. Or you just feel like you're struggling to connect for some reason. Let us help you break through all those barriers and more to discover the relationship that God has for you. 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, we got a message, or I should say an email from Kelly in Michigan. And she says, my husband is very rigid. It was fine when it was just the two of us. I could cope. In fact, I kind of like the structure. But now we have three kids under five, and his rigidity is impossible and getting to be unkind. Small kids need at least some flexibility, and I need that as their mother. I can't control how long it's going to take them to eat their lunch, or how long it's going to take the baby to nurse, or how many times a day I'm going to have to change diapers. I've tried telling him about this, but he insists we need to, quote, curb the chaos and structure our days hour by hour so that the family and the house can be run well and the mess and the chaos can go away. What can I do to get through to him? Because this is becoming very difficult for all of us. And that's Kelly in Michigan.
Well, Kelly, thank you so much for the message. So I want to talk about two things. First of all, the importance of routine in a relationship in a healthy household. A routine is not the kind of rigid structure schedule that your husband is talking about. But a routine is basically the current that flows through a household that carries everybody along with it. So in other words, you may not do everything at this time or that time or the other time, but you have a certain order of the day that you get up in general at this time, and your mornings go this way, and you know, on Mondays you do these kinds of things, and on Tuesdays maybe you have certain these activities or chores, you know, and it's a rhythm to the day that everyone accommodates to, a rhythm to the week that everyone accommodates to, so that you know your whole family kind of gets carried along with that flow. So that they know, oh, well, it's generally speaking this time of day, then we get together for lunch for that. And it's generally speaking this time of day, and that's where we, you know, clean up the kitchen together or clean up the family room before we go to bed. You know, there's a routine to the day.
And as you, as mom of, she said here, three kids under five,
yeah.
It's sort of your go-to that allows you to not lose control of your day. So you're doing a weekly meal plan, and then you're looking the night before and saying, what do I do so I know that I can have dinner on the table tomorrow and I'm not suddenly getting to 5 o'clock and haven't defrosted anything? What needs to go in the crock pot tonight? You're keeping that schedule in the morning so you know what everybody's going to wear, you know when lunch is going to be, you know when you're going to try to get the kids down for a nap. It does curb the chaos and give you a sense, all of you, a sense of safety and a sense of well-being. But it's not the hour-by-hour schedule that one can do if one's a single person and say, well, I'm just going to do everything by a timer.
In my book, The Beatitudes, which is looks at each of the Beatitudes in light of God's fatherhood and what men can learn about being a father after the Father's heart by reflecting on the Beatitudes. The Beatitude, blessed are the dads who are peacemakers, refers exactly to this idea of taking point on establishing healthy routines and rituals in the household. A lot of times men will leave that to their wives, and then when things aren't happening, men try to address that by barking at their wives about it, instead of jumping in and actually taking an active part of the process in a healthy, gentle way to move things along. So, for instance, you know, if I come out at the end of my day and, you know, Lisa is running behind for some reason on something, I know what we're making for dinner because it's out there. I'll start it,
exactly.
You know, because I can, and I'm helping to move that routine along.
You know what time dinner is, and if something has gotten chaotic because a child is sick or something went crazy in the house, like a pipe broke, you know where the Uber app is, and the delivery app is, and you're just like, okay, well, this didn't work, but we still are going to have dinner around that time because it keeps us sane. So you'll do the ordering, but we're working together on that routine.
Yeah, and it's not my job to bark at her to have a stricter routine or ritual. It's my job to help facilitate whatever that routine or ritual needs to be.
And I have to say, barking won't work because I can't control if a pipe broke or a child's vomiting. It just doesn't work that way.
The thing I will say, what you're describing, though, Kelly, the first part of this answer is to encourage you to have healthy routines. But my concern is what you're describing is very consistent with what's called obsessive-compulsive personality disorder. Now, we all know obsessive-compulsive disorder is sort of that hand-washing thing or even scrupulosity. This is a different thing altogether. Obsessive-compulsive personality disorder sounds the same, but it's a really very different thing where the person has rules about everything and a right way to do everything, and if you don't follow it in exact lockstep with what their imagination says it ought to be, then you're wrong and you're going to be shamed for it. My encouragement to you as step one would be to go ahead and establish those routines as best you can and talk with him about what he can do to facilitate those routines and maybe even read through that chapter in the Beatitudes on Blessed Are the Dads Who Are Peacemakers. If you find, though, that routines aren't enough, that he really does need that rigid schedule, then you're going to need to seek some professional help to address what may very well be an obsessive-compulsive personality disorder, because that can very quickly devolve into an abusive situation. Not physically abusive, necessarily, but certainly verbally abusive. And the sooner you address it, the better off you're going to be. We need to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about dealing with marriage on today's More to Life. Do you feel like your relationship has taken on water? We're going to help you plug those leaks, get back on course. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's talk about how to make your marriage great. 877-573-7825.
Catholic law is not cynical about human government, but it does understand its limitations. Let me just quote from the Catechism. Human society can be neither well-ordered nor prosperous unless it has some people invested with legitimate authority to preserve its institutions and to devote themselves as far as is necessary to work and care for the good of all. Every human community needs an authority to govern it. Now, we know that, of course. The family has a certain authority, business has an authority, and government has certain authorities. We are blessed in that in our moment in history, governments are composed by the consent of the governed. It means we have to look beyond the political rhetoric that's used by politicians and lobbyists to sell a bill or a referendum item. And so I would just stress time and again, don't be cynical, but be prudent. Don't be suspicious, but be inquiring.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta for Eastern on EWTN Radio.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is Evidences for Christianity. The claim of the Christian faith is that God has revealed himself to us by appearing in the form of a man in a particular time and in a particular place. He permitted people to observe him, watch his behavior, see him under pressure, and ask him controversial questions. Seen God around lately? But there was a time when he was around. The Word became flesh, says John, and dwelt among us. This is an astounding claim that no other religion has ever made. No fuller revelation of deity seems to be possible than for God to come in person and let persons see what he is like. Surely this is better than mere writings or the testimony of a prophet, for this is the incarnation of God and the greatest evidence for Christianity. To explore more, go to AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Many new parents approach Greg and I with questions about techniques to be successful parents. But this is the wrong attitude. Remember, your baby is not a machine. There's no operating manual for parenthood. Every parent needs to learn the language their baby speaks in order to create a positive, trust-filled relationship that is optimal for his or her emotional, spiritual, and physical development. The language of baby consists of touch, cuddles, and intensive FaceTime. By speaking this language, you are telling your baby, come close to me, learn from me,
Let me teach you what the world means and what it means to be you. There are supporting actions such as baby wearing and breastfeeding, but most important is your attitude. You brought this little person into the world. The best gift that you can give them is a willingness to give yourself in self-donative love. For more ways to build a positive relationship with your child, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today we're talking about marriage. And as we explore the challenges that couples face, as we all struggle to be as close as we might like, to overcome certain arguments, disagreements, or even learn how to argue effectively, to build connection, to fight back against all the things that try to tear us apart. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Clarissa, who's listening to EWTN Radio in North Carolina.
Hi, Clarissa. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller, and I just, it's been going on for like maybe a couple weeks. My husband is starting to wonder if we were meant to be together.
Mm-hmm.
And
how long have you guys been together?
We are celebrating our anniversary, 16th year anniversary, on the 24th.
Okay.
So
talk me through what's going on.
I'm sorry?
Talk me through what's going on.
I think it has something to do with so many of our friends and our family are getting divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's kind of like second guessing, which I feel like our marriage is so much stronger than that. Mm-hmm. But
he wouldn't agree.
We'll get through it. But he keeps bringing up the fact that, I guess not the fact, but that maybe our relationship was that we only got together because he was basically, I guess, asking Satan or selling his soul to Satan, saying that that he will do anything if he gets me, or at least gets me as his girlfriend. Or
so this is a little bit of a curveball. So you're saying,
right,
that he recently confessed to you that, but while you were dating, he gave his life to Satan. I'm sorry. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, no, not while we were dating. So I had
We
started working. We were working together. We were co-workers, and he started to take a liking to me, and I didn't like him that way. I saw him as, you know, just a really good friend. He kept asking me out. I kept telling him no. He tells me that that he was praying to God, for, you know, praying really hard to God, and his prayers were unanswered, and I wasn't even, you know, thinking about dating him at all or saying, mm-hmm, yes to him or anything, until he abandoned God's will and turned to Satan instead, and then just, but I didn't know about this, of course. But
so talk me through since that time. I mean, so has he been a prayerful man? Has he been going to church? You guys get married in the church? Can you talk to me about what's your spiritual relationship been since you got married?
Yeah, all of that was 16 years ago, and or I mean, actually 18 years ago. He is a God-fearing man, and
be so, more specific.
Yeah, help me understand what that
Clarissa
means, because
like, God-fearing is like, yeah, he sort of, you know, pays lip service to God. Do you guys pray together to God every single day? Do you frequent the sacraments?
Has he been to confession for this?
Yes.
Talk me through, because God-fearing people don't suddenly just turn to Satan. That's odd at best. Uh-huh. So walk me through this.
Right. Well, I don't really know. I didn't know him before we worked together.
But you've known him for the last 16 years. So
tell
does he go to church? Do you guys pray together?
Now.
Does he get what's his spiritual life
he
like?
Very. We attend mass together and we pray together. We have three kids. Uh-huh. We pray our, you know, our family meals,
okay.
Prayers together.
What does he make? I mean, you know, you're saying that he's not sure that you were meant to be together because he prayed to Satan and that's what got you to go out with him in the first place. I'm having a hard time reconciling that with the rest of your life together. What does he say about that?
16 years together.
Yeah, 16 years. And that's why I'm...
No, I'm asking, how does he reconcile that with the life that you've had for the last 16 years? Have you asked him about that at all?
Yes, I have. And he just from all the what we assumed were strong marriages are suddenly breaking
okay.
up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So look, there are several things here. First of all, he needs to go to confession, right? Because even if, and I believe that this, you know, the way that you guys have been living, going to church, praying together, doing a lot of good spiritual things, I believe that God is blessing your relationship. But he did let Satan in the door with this, and now Satan is having a field day by eating away at the foundation of the relationship, the confidence that he can have in the relationship. He needs to go to confession to express his regret for that lapse,
and
get
honestly,
the grace to shut the door on Satan's attempt to undermine all that's good in the relationship.
Yes, and honestly, if you've been walking around with this knowledge and haven't gone to confession together and gotten this out of your marriage and doubled down on your relationship with God, this is the invitation to do it. You should go as well, and then both of you recommit to living a godly marriage and life together and start really taking those steps. Just shut the door on this whole thing.
Second thing is there is such a thing as divorce contagion. There's research that shows that when people we know get divorced, there's a greater likelihood that we'll get divorced too. That's not magic. What it does is it makes us question, like you guys are questioning right now, your husband in particular is questioning whether you have what it takes to make it work. In my book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, I make the very strong point that there is no it. There is no such thing as, quote-unquote, marriage as a thing. Marriage is what you make it, or what you don't make it. You can't buy marriage in a store. You can't hold it in your hands. You create it together. And so whether it's working or not is entirely dependent on whether you're working it or not. And what makes a marriage work are the millions of little ways you say I do to each other every single day. Every time you take care of each other instead of lashing out at each other, you say I do. Every time you look for a little way to make your spouse feel loved or cared for, or try to make their day a little easier or more pleasant, you're saying I do as opposed to I don't.
Every time you take time to pray together or pray over your spouse if he's having a hard day, you're saying I do to each other and to God.
And speaking of that, you say that you do pray together already. I would really encourage you to perhaps pray in a different way about your relationship than you have in the past. And this is how I want you to pray about it. I want you to bring yourselves and your relationship to God every day. And I want you to each to say, Lord, help me to learn how to be the husband or the wife that you want me to be, that you have called me to be for this person. Help me to find ways to love and cherish them. Even when it's hard, help me find little ways to make their lives easier or more pleasant today, to bring your face to them. Help us learn how to love each other with your love and have the marriage that you want us to have. It's all about giving yourselves to God and learning how to love each other with God's love. We have a tendency to think of marriage as a rubber stamp on a decision that we've made to love each other on our own power. That is not what Christian marriage is. And I talk about this as well in For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage. The Church teaches us that marriage is a school of love. In other words, we might have feelings of love for this person, but we really don't know how to love them, not the way God wants us to. And so when we get married in the Church, what we're saying is, I believe this place can teach me to love this person the way God wants me to. I have feelings in my heart for them, but I don't know how to love them the way God wants me to. So I'm going to spend every day of my life asking God to teach me and listening to what the Church tells me about what it means to love. And I'm going to apprentice my life to that mission and work to convert my heart to live that. And so what we're talking about here is a very strong process of conversion that needs to happen in your marriage and in your hearts for each other. So building on that, I would like you to go to Retrovi, learn more about Retrovi in your area, contact your diocese to find out about Retrovi means rediscovery. It's a program, it's a weekend retreat for couples who are struggling in their relationship, and then there are 6 follow-up sessions. It's not counseling, but it's certainly a good way to open up those doors of communication and get you really looking at the foundations of your relationship in a healthier way.
And one of the reasons Retrovi would be particularly great for you guys is your husband's just kind of bouncing around on his feelings and concerns. Oh, they got a divorce. Maybe we should get a divorce. Oh, I kind of had this lapse and did this 16 years ago or 18 years ago, and now it's affecting my marriage. It's a really just like feelings-based reactionary thing that he's doing. Retrovi is going to teach him how to like write through being logical about this and make real decisions about the marriage that are positive for the marriage and have him not just bouncing around like a ping pong ball on the waves.
But even more importantly, I think that the situation calls for professional marriage counseling, and I'd like you to get in touch with either a local marriage-friendly counselor or reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com because, you know, 2 reasons. One, you're dealing with some very serious stuff here that you're going to need some professional and faithful professional help to reconcile with. Secondly, I'm a little concerned about some mental health issues because the way you're describing your husband's complaint about the relationship, it's not a normal way that a spouse complains about problems in a relationship. I want him to be evaluated for mental health issues. So you need to make an appointment with a good marriage-friendly counselor, either locally or through our organization at CatholicCounselors.com. So, 1, confession. 2, Retrovi. 3, learning more about how to heal your marriage and nurture lasting love through the book of that same name. And then 4, professional marriage counseling, faithful marriage counseling to help you get your relationship back on track and fight back against this divorce contagion that has infected your relationship. Clarissa, thank you so much for the call. We're going to add you to our More to Life prayer list. I hope that you'll follow through with these recommendations pretty much as soon as you hang up the phone, because there's a lot riding on this. Thanks for the call. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. We're talking about marriage today on More to Life. What's getting in the way of you having the close, connected, loving, joyful, peaceful relationship that you are looking for? You know, maybe it's a particular topic that you and your spouse are not seeing eye to eye on. Maybe it's the way you argue in general that's wearing you down. Perhaps you're struggling to connect the way you would like to for whatever reason. We want to help you break through those barriers and let God's grace and His love flow through your home. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4.
Let marriage be held in honor among all.
That's St. Paul reminding us of the importance of marriage. You know, we started off the show reminding all of our listeners that marriage is a ministry. We don't often think of it that way, but it is, because a ministry is essentially doing something intentionally to convey God's love to another person. I mean, broadly speaking, that's what a ministry is, doing something intentionally to convey God's love to another person. I can't think of a better definition of marriage, Christian marriage, because the whole point of being a Christian married couple is not to love each other on our own broken human power, but to learn to love each other with God's love. which is why St. Paul says that marriage should be held in honor among all, because it is the primary way. 97% of all people will be married at some point in their lives. It is the primary way that God teaches us to love the way he wants us to love. Running away from that work, doing other ministries, but not working on our marriage, makes us a noisy gong. 877-573-7825. Let's talk more about what it takes to make your marriage everything God calls it to be. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Stick around for more. More to Life coming up after the break.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about marriage. As we look at the challenges that every couple faces in trying to stay connected, overcome the challenges that they face, and push back against the world's attempts to tear us apart. If something is getting in the way of you feeling as close to your spouse as you'd like, if there are certain arguments you just can't get over, or for that matter, you're just tired of the way you argue, if there's just general struggles in connecting, or even the fear that you're growing apart, let's talk about how to get back on track. The number to call, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Well, Marianne in Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network, contacted us, Greg, and she says, my husband has completely opted out of helping me with his critical interfering mother. She criticizes me at every turn, my cooking, how I raise my kids, everything. She is awful. But okay, when I ask him to defend me and make her stop, he says it's just who she is. But we live in the same town, and we have family dinners every other Sunday. She's with us for every holiday, and she comes to every activity and game that the kids have. I have to see her all the time. She wears me down, and it makes me angry that he won't defend me. And that's Marianne listening on Guadalupe Radio in Texas.
All right, Marianne, thank you so much for the message. So a couple of things. Your husband may have something when he says that this is the way she is. I'm not saying that, that he's absolutely 100% right in the way he's approaching it. But, you know, having grown up in a particular household, he knows how certain things work in his family of origin. And what he's learned to do is not to take it personally, to kind of let her make her noise in the background and then just get on with his life. You may have to learn how to do that to some degree yourself.
And I have to say, it can be disturbing to see an adult with what we call learned helplessness, where he's just been so beaten down by who she is and he hasn't had any success making her a nicer person or a less critical person. So he's just given up on it. But he has learned to say, let's not let her affect us and get us all riled up.
Now, that is not to say that she shouldn't be confronted in some way, but let me walk you through this, okay? You know, the church teaches us that we should think of small things the same way that we think of big things, and big things the same way we think of small things. So, ironically, we can learn a little bit about arguing from Catholic just war theory. And, you know, just war theory, of course, is the...
I think we just got everybody's attention. I can apply just war theory to my in-laws?
Yeah, well, okay. You know, so just war theory is the Catholic sort of thinking behind... how do we conduct, whether we decide to go to war with another country or how do we conduct ourselves at war with another country. A lot of those principles, believe it or not, could apply to interpersonal relationships as well. So, for instance, one of those principles in deciding whether to go to war or not is the decision to go to war going to cause even more damage than the damage that's already being done? Is the battle winnable? Right? Those are two questions you need to ask yourself, okay? So can you see a way, knowing your mother-in-law for who she is, a way that she would respond remotely positively to your saying to her, Mom, I love you with all of my heart, but you're really being critical right now. Yeah, and I really need you to stop that. Can you imagine any world in which she would respond, you know, not happily, but well to that? She'd be where she'd say, you know what, I'm so sorry, I had no idea, or let me try to at least clarify, or whatever. If you think that intervention would be productive, then you know what, you're a grown-up. Go have that conversation with her. Don't sit back passively and wait for your husband to fight this. I mean, you know, we have a tendency to think, well, you know, I shouldn't do that, that's his job to do that. Well, I mean, you know, it's not bad if he helps you with that, but the reality is he's got his way of dealing with it. And if you feel that you need to go and confront her, you are a grown-up, you can go do that. But first, you need to prayerfully ask yourself if it's going to do any good, or if it will just make the problem infinitely worse. Now, if you think that it won't do any good and it will make things infinitely worse, then what you need to do is focus on setting boundaries on the relationship. You say that you go to dinner at her place every other week. Well, maybe you don't need to do that anymore. And when she complains about it and says, well, how come you guys aren't coming to dinner anymore? You can say, you know, Mom, I love you, and I would really love us to have a good relationship, but you're so critical, it's difficult to be around you. And if I could see you working on that, then we could come around more often. But right now, as things stand, I need a break.
Now, Greg, I want to ask, you know, for Marianne's interest here, because I think she and a lot of people would say, well, my husband won't stop going to dinner at her house or having these family dinners. What would you say to her?
Well, then she's got
case?
A marriage problem, and that's not a mother-in-law problem. That's a marriage problem at that point, and then she needs to seek some professional marriage counseling, because your husband, at the very least, needs to stand with you as you set those boundaries. So, you know, if you have a situation where he's saying, look, you know, this is the way she is, there's no point fighting her, let's just not go around so much anymore, not invite her as much anymore. Well, that's a healthy situation, okay? But if your husband is actually really undermining your attempts to address this situation and make it better and make your lives healthier, then you've got a marriage counseling problem that you're going to need to seek some professional help with, because it goes deeper than just his mother being controlling. What it would go to at that point is that he is too anxious to lose his mother's love to cut those apron strings, and that's going to cause all kinds of other problems. So there's sort of a 1-2 punch on that. Well, actually three parts. One, discern whether confronting her directly would yield any benefit at all, or if it would just make you crazier and you know the whole situation more difficult. If it won't, go and talk to her about it directly. If it will, then change the nature of the relationship. Step two, set boundaries on how often you spend time with her. And when she complains about it, let her know exactly why, and let her know that that's not going to change until she addresses these offensive things that she's doing. And step three, if your husband tries to undermine it, then now it's not a mother-in-law problem, it's a marriage problem, and then you need to seek some professional help for that. All right, thank you so much for the question. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or at CatholicCounselors.com. You can also learn more about healing your marriage in my book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, which talks all about the 8 habits that healthy couples practice in their relationships and how any couple can learn to do those things to strengthen their marriage. That's How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. as well as For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, two great resources that every couple, every Catholic couple should have. You can pick them both up at CatholicCounselors.com. And listeners, you can also learn more about all the resources we have to help you live a more joyful and abundant marriage life at CatholicCounselors.com, including learning more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, telecounseling. We also do virtual video counseling as well. You can learn more about all of that and working with a professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your life and relationships at CatholicCounselors.com. Then get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because with God's grace, there really is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.